from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. We're bridging the gap between what happens on the field and what happens in the front office. And speaking of that gap, I want to dedicate a little bit of today's show talking about Jeff Samardzija. I think he's a very interesting case. A lot of the talk this offseason, when you read articles about the Giants heading into 2020, everyone is projecting kind of Jeff Samardzija at the front of the Giants rotation. And I think this is really interesting because it allows us to have a conversation about his 2019 season, which was extremely bizarre. And it was bizarre in the sense that he had an excellent 3.52 ERA, which was 15% better than league average when adjusted for the ballpark. So, you know, by results, it was a very strong season for Jeff Samardzija. And perhaps most importantly, and something you can't take away from him, is the fact that he threw 181 and a third innings after throwing just 44 and two thirds in the previous season. Prior to 2018, he had thrown at least 200 innings in five consecutive seasons. But what's so interesting to me about Jeff Samardzija is that based on what I am seeing, he is a pitcher very much in line for a big decline in 2020. And it appears that the 3.52 ERA was a mirage. And I mean, the fact is he did produce the 3.52 ERA. You can't take it away from him. The production was there in 2019. But speaking from a predictive standpoint, it is beneficial to know what to expect heading into 2020. And I think more than perhaps any other pitcher on the Giants, people are expecting more than I think they should out of Jeff Samardzija in 2020. So the thing I'll first point to about Jeff Samardzija, the obvious number to point to, is simply the fielding independent pitching, which is abbreviated as FIP. So FIP is an ERA estimator, and it's based on the things a pitcher can most control: his strikeout rate, his walk rate, and his home run rate. So essentially, we're taking all balls in play out of the equation because we all know balls in play can be kind of random, and it has a lot to do with your defense. And it actually is a better predictor of future ERA than past ERA. So simply, when we look at that fact, there's all kinds of red flags in Samardzija's 3.52 ERA. The fielding independent pitching was more than a run higher at 4.59. And a number that's even better at predicting future ERA is something called expected fielding independent pitching, which sets a pitcher's home run to fly ball ratio and batting average on balls in play to the league average. And in this category, Samardzija was even worse with a 5.02 expected fielding independent pitching. So these numbers are so much higher than the ERA that Samardzija was in fact a leader in the difference between the ERA and the fielding independent pitching. He was third in all of baseball with a difference of 1.06 runs. His FIP was 1.06 runs higher than the ERA, and that was third most in all of baseball. So I wanted to look back on the 2018 season and see some players who had a similar discrepancy between their ERA and their fielding independent pitching and see how they performed in 2019. So in 2018, the pitcher who had the closest difference to Samardzija between the ERA and the fielding independent pitching was John Lester, who came in with a 1.07 run difference between those two numbers. Lester had a 3.32 ERA in 2018, but a 4.39 fielding independent pitching. Well, the big question is, how did he fare in 2019? He had a 4.46 ERA, which was almost identical to the 4.39 fielding independent pitching, and even better, the expected fielding independent pitching in 2018 2018 was 4.43. Again, the ERA in 2019, 4.46. So it's a classic example of FIP and XFIP being a better predictor of the next season's ERA than the 3.32 ERA, which essentially had no bearing on his 2019 results. It's the one number that looks out of place when you look at what did he do in the following season. So yes, that is just one example. There are other examples of pitchers who outperformed their fielding independent pitching in 2018 and then did so again in 2019. But the reason I'm not optimistic about that for Samardzija is that he's never been a pitcher who's been one to beat his peripherals. So some guys do consistently. Matt Cain was always a guy who beat his peripherals until he wasn't. He was, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. But that's never been Jeff Samardzija. And in fact, in his career, his earned run average is significantly higher than his fielding independent pitching across more than 1,600 innings. So there's very little reason to suspect that suddenly, in like the 10th season of his career, he's suddenly going to reverse that trend and be able to beat his peripheral numbers as his stuff deteriorates. And so much of the success he had in 2019 can be attributed to some things that look clear and obviously like unsustainable performance. For example, he allowed just a 240 average on balls in play against him. So this is, you know, non-strikeouts and non-homers that were put into play. The league got a hit on just 24% of those balls in play, whereas in his career, he's allowed a hit on 28.9% of those balls in play. So that's a huge decline and one that we shouldn't expect to continue. In fact, Samardzija had the lowest batting average on balls in play against him of all starting pitchers in the National League last season. And if we look at StatCast numbers, courtesy of Baseball Savant, we can look into the quality of contact against him and see if there's a difference between the expected results based on that quality of contact and his actual results. And what do we find? A huge difference between expected and actual results. His expected weighted on base average against him, which is an all-encompassing, basically offensive production expected against him, was relatively normal at 326. That number is scaled so that the league average is the league average on base percentage, which is around 320. So in his career, since StatCast began tracking this information in 2015, he's allowed a 320 expected weighted on base average against him. So last year was more or less in line with his career norms in terms of expected results against him, yet the actual weighted on base average against him was just 289, 37 points lower than the expected results. And in his career since 2015, he's allowed a 311 weighted on base average against him. So this is a number 22 points lower than his career norm, despite expected results a little bit higher than his career norm since 2015. So basically, I see not a lot of reason to expect that performance to continue. His fastball velocity is in decline. It was just 21st percentile. His strikeout rate was just 21st percentile in baseball. 24th percentile exit velocities against him. 19th percentile expected slugging numbers against him. I'm not trying to rag on the guy. These are just cold hard numbers, just like his 3.52 ERA was a cold hard number that he did earn. But we're in the business of projecting 2020, and I'm very low on the chances of Samardzija having a repeat season from what he did in 2019. A Giants player who had a similar gap between ERA and peripherals the previous year was Derek Rodriguez, and we said on this show coming into last season that he was unlikely to repeat that type of performance when he had a 2.81 ERA. Peripherals were much higher, and as it turned out, Derek Rodriguez ended up having a 5.64 ERA the following season. We can wish all we want that Samardzija's 2019 and Derek Rodriguez's 2018 are going to be what they'll do moving forward, but I think it's better to be honest about what to expect. So coming up in the second half of the show, we'll continue to have this conversation and shift gears towards a couple of other pieces of news. Giants announced their non-roster invitees, which is very interesting, and there are some names worth mentioning there. We have a Nicholas Castellanos update, and we have a coaching staff update. So that's all coming up next, but first... Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to continue to wrap up this discussion about Jeff Samardzija and why it's important to be critical when thinking ahead to 2020. I've been saying all along, I think that Kevin Gausman and Tyler Anderson probably have the best chances to be the best pitchers for the Giants next season. Is that a guarantee? Of course not. Could Samardzija repeat his 2019? Of course he could. But in terms of what to expect, I think Gausman and Tyler Anderson are going to surprise some people, and I think a lot of people will be disappointed and surprised unnecessarily so by some regression, maybe big regression from Samardzija. So looking ahead, I think a bigger need than starting pitching right now is actually in the outfield, where they certainly have a lot more question marks and a lot less depth. So that brings us to the Nick Castellanos rumors. John Morosi reporting yesterday that Castellanos had a good meeting with the Rangers and that they are among the finalists to sign him. So this has been quiet on the Giants front ever since that Ken Rosenthal report about other teams, or at least one other team executive, being discouraged by their chances of besting the Giants' offer. That executive saw the Giants as the top bidder. So it's been about a month since we heard that, and we've really heard nothing else about the Giants' interest in Castellanos. We did hear that Castellanos was placing a lot of stock into team culture and teams that valued culture. And I don't know how he views the Giants now, but, you know, historically that's been the Giants' MO. But of course, you know, things are changing. I don't know if that's as big of a priority as it's been in the past, which is not, I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus, but they're no longer a team that values culture above talent, which is, you could make a case at times that that was how they operated in seasons past. So I think we really don't know what's going to happen with Castellanos, but he continues to be a great fit for the Giants given his age, if you believe that the defense is improved, which I think the Giants do believe. That being said, you know, the price is going to be a very important factor. The Giants do not want to find themselves with a contract that's underwater towards the end of it when they're needing him the most and ready to contend. So that remains a very interesting development to follow. Second to last thing I want to talk about is the Giants hiring Nick Ortiz to be their quality control coach. Ortiz is 46, from Puerto Rico, and he's a native Spanish speaker, which was reportedly a prerequisite for the position. The report coming from Andy Baggerly last night that the Giants had hired the former Yankee scout and minor league coach Nick Ortiz. So that rounds out the coaching staff. 46, you know, is actually old for this coaching staff. So there we have it. We know, I've seen a lot of comments like, quality control coach, what are the Giants doing? Why don't they just sign some players instead? But it's a common position in today's day and age. I actually don't know exactly what they do, but the Giants finally have their quality control coach in place. Lastly is the list of non-roster invitees, which we'll probably talk about more tomorrow. There are 18 guys, some guys we didn't know they had signed, like re-signed, such as Joey Rickard, who I thought made a positive impact at times with the Giants last season. To me, I called him a poor man's Kevin Pillar. He's got speed, he has a little pop. He really should only be playing against left-handed pitchers, and he's good defensively in a corner. So Rickard is back, apparently, in a non-roster invitee. And most importantly, perhaps, from this list is the fact that Joey Bart and Sean Gelly are going to be in Major League camp. It's not a surprise for Bart, who was there last season as well. But I think this is going to be a bigger audition for him, and he has a real chance to start 2020 in AAA and then be, you know, just one call away from the major leagues. So I think they're going to be aggressive with Bart. We will see him in 2020, barring a serious injury or just unexpected poor performance. But Sean Gelly, to me, is the bigger surprise there. And I mentioned him based on the steamer projections for his 2020 ERA being among the best on the Giants. So like they were aggressive with Tyler Beede, Sean Anderson, Logan Webb, and others in 2019, I think they will be aggressive with Gelly. And I wouldn't be surprised if he finds himself on the big league roster at some point in 2020. So it's exciting that they're being aggressive with their young players. I just expect that to be a common theme, especially with the development-oriented coaching staff they have in place. So we'll talk more about the non-roster invitees tomorrow. There are some other interesting names. Giants signed a switch-hitting catcher, which I definitely want to talk about as well. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.